That means bread or food or in drink or in respect of an holy day, Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of the Unleavened Bread, or of the new moon. Why? Why the new moon? What are you? Are you a child of light or are you of the night? And the moon comes out. Of course, the moon comes out in the day too, so we get to see it. You're a child of light that goes by the solar. Let the lunar take care of itself. That's one of the reasons you ever wondered, well, all the ramifications that was in that when the disciples themselves go, Lord, we can't clean this man because he's a lunatic. Well, man, that's lunar. And people are just about that hard to draw out of it, too. You know, they like that moon, that night. 17. Which are a shadow. What was those holidays? A shadow of things to come. But, listen to me, but the body is of Christ. So don't you go messing around back in the old stuff, in the shadows, in the shade of night. Does that mean the law is done away with? Absolutely not, because the laws are not an ordinance. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Be very careful when somebody comes up, angel talked to me and I got a message to you for you from God. It's just real humbly. I'm nobody, just a servant of God, but I have a message for you. God knows your address, okay? He knows where you're at. He sent you a telegram right here. I call it a telegram because it's sent in haste. So that you can be ready in haste. So beware of those that come around claiming to be God's messenger. God had a bunch of messengers. There was Isaiah and Daniel and just a bunch of them. And yes, God uses people, but you got a whole Bible full of them. These you can count on. This word did come from God. And when some person that isn't intelligent enough to cut it one way, that gets super spiritual. Now, there are spiritual people, and I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about fakes, okay? And we got a lot of them that can't make it in the world without feeling important within themselves. When you know and I know that we're not important, it is the Word of God that is important. We're nothing. So don't let somebody come around you trying to make some big thing out of themselves when you and I both know their elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor. Okay? Don't let them do that to you. They'll rob you of your whole ball of wax, friend. They will certainly do it. Because if you listen to them, you let in the most dangerous leaven that there has ever been. And quite frankly, I summed it up for you in one sentence there. That's the leaven you're supposed to beware of. Turn with me to John chapter 6. I'm sorry. Hold your place in Corinthians. Go to the third chapter. And right here, I'm sorry, Colossians. Stay right there in Colossians. I'm getting old. My memory fails me whenever I was about to skip a cog. Chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Do you ever look up? Or are you still back here plowing in the bread? The unleavened bread. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You better keep your eyes open. That's the message. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In other words, if you have Christ in your house, this house, and he's at the right hand of God, it makes a nice combination. Why in the world, if you were in that place, would you want to get back down here in the dough pan? Because it was nailed to the cross. All right? Now let's go where I said. John, great book of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. Let's pick it up with verse 26. Okay, and it reads, Jesus answered them and said, well, first, what's going on here? He just fed 5,000 and he fed 4,000. I mean, he'd been feeding off of how many loaves of bread? Where do you think that bread came from? It didn't go that far. You think somebody got out of dough pan and kind of whipped all this back up again? I don't think so. And Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles. They followed him around the lake, okay? They want some more bread. That was good food, good chow. But because you did eat of the loaves and were filled, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. In other words, I'll give you some bread that will last you a lifetime. All right? Let me ask you a question. We should use unleavened bread for Passover. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, okay? But will it perish? Of course it will. Naturally, it'll spoil. So that's not what he's talking about. I want to make that clear. 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? All they still wanted was a meal. Meal ticket, friend. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent, being Christ, of course. They said therefore unto him, what sign showeth thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? They wanted some more of those little fishes and loaves, see? Okay? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, which is what? Christ, of course. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Without life, what happens? You die. You're a dead person. God gives you that life, which is to say the eternal life. 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They still got their mind in the dough pan. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians do today. Just got to get in that dough pan, got to have this on the right day. Just got to be just right. It's kind of funny, isn't it? It's laughable. And that's not to say Passover shouldn't be observed on the correct date if possible. But there are a lot of days that Christ became. Those, you don't want to have all that much, Christ is our Passover, and he is not our Feast of Tabernacles. He's our Passover, and we celebrate that at the Feast of Tabernacles, okay, if you want to look at it that way. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. In other words, all you want is a biscuit. If I give you a biscuit, you'll hunt with me. If I don't give you a biscuit, I know you're out of here. That's not scriptural. Didn't say that really quite there, but that's what he was saying in a way, okay? that, am I getting it warmer in here for you? All right, I've even got perspiration on my poor Bible here. Oh, well, hey, I like to serve the Lord, and if it gets a little bit rough, I can still cut it. How about you? All right? For I came, 38 here, let's go with it. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Can you do that? Do you have to do everything for yourself? Or can you do a little something for him? All right? Who is number one? It's not you. It's not me. It's him. And this is the Father's will. This is what he wants, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Boy, I want to be part of that. That's the leaven I want to take part in, is the raising, when Christianity leavens the whole loaf, all right? And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Okay. So, let that be. Let's skip on, if we may, to 43. And after a question, you're familiar with it. And they begin to say, well, who is he if he claims he's the bread of life, the Son of God? He was Joseph's son. Mary gave birth to him. Who does he think he is? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Think about that statement. And I will raise him up at the last day. That's the day we're looking forward to. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Did it say, everybody that speaks saved comes to me? I don't think it said that. It said, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned. All right? Then he'll save you, you bet. But you better, that word will, God's will, do you care about it? No, I just want to be saved. Just get in the door, that's all. I guarantee you, if you get through the door, that will be all. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. I am, that's the sacred name, I am that bread of life. There is no other. You can mix up all you want to, and you can put leaven in or out. But Christ is the bread of life, period. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. It did not help them. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I want to, for the sake of time, he continues on about his flesh and the blood. I want to go to verse 62. I think somebody might have been offended a little bit, so he picks it up in 62. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? He came down from there. What if he goes back there again? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The works that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. And of course, again, they were still looking for that loaf of bread. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to skip you around just a little bit here. 1 Corinthians 5. And let's take verse 6 and 7 of that fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians. About 6 through 8 we'll probably go here. And it says there, Paul teaching, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? What leaven is usually thought of in the spiritual sense as evil, right? You take in a little bit of evil and accept it, and it will make your whole being evil before it's over with. It's called man being accustomed to his environment without adding spiritual moral values to keep him afloat, right? It'll gradually take you down. 7, purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, as ye are unleavened. That's your house. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. What is your Passover now? Is it a lamb? No, it's Christ. Christ is our Passover, and everything else was nailed to the cross. The Passover is still very much in existence because it's everything. Verse 8, therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So the bread is the sincerity and the truth that you have in your soul of knowing God's Word, to recognize evil when you see it, to recognize fake doctrine when you hear it. Now turn with me to the book of Matthew and let's put the lid on this thing. Book of Matthew, we want to go to chapter 16. Pick it up at verse 6. This follows the big feeding, okay, of 4,000, 5,000. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven, there's that word, of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Take heed, you look at it. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Did Mama put leaven in that or did she not? Is that what he's talking about? Verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith. You know what strengthens your faith is the Word of God, where you come to knowledge to know what he's talking about, what he's teaching you, whereby you recognize truth when you hear it, or a bunch of nonsense. Following old shadows. Why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? What has bread got to do with what I'm talking about other than I use it as an analogy? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Well, they should. They got 12 of them. All right? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. There's 7 of them. Right? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not, I repeat, not to you concerning bread, but, or rather, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In other words, any time you have a large mass together and you get all kinds of doctrines of that religion's all right, they're nice people. They don't really do this or that or the other, but they really don't even read the Word of God. They just talk. Okay? But they're nice people. What kind of doctrine do they have? When it comes to you serving God, bread doesn't have anything to do with it other than the living bread, and that is Christ's word and sincerity. When you start messing around trying to throw out all the yeast out of your house, and you let in some of the greatest filth there ever has been on television, or some preacher teaching false doctrine, and you're worried about bread. Now, it's time, and it's the set time, that we grow up and recognize the Word of God for what it is before it's too late for some. Clean this out. Get this old paint locker all cleaned out and put the Word of God in it, or Satan's going to have you for dinner. He's going to be your bread. He's going to eat you alive. Because you're messing around with old things and worrying about them because you haven't read God's Word and you haven't kept up to know it was nailed to the cross with Christ, and it offends God when you think a loaf of bread is going to make any difference in your salvation. Well, maybe I made that a little strong, but it's true. It's very true. The leaven is a good example, analogy to use, because as he said, to claim you and cause you to rise on the last day, you better have him as leaven in your soul. Because only he can cause you to rise as the bread does. And it's a good analogy, but that's all it is. Christ is the action. He's the hope. He's the sure resurrection. So keep your eye on him and don't let people play games with you about old shadows that will take you deeper into the darkness while you're worrying about this, that, and the other instead of keeping Christ on your mind and overcoming. In closing, one last scripture, Revelation chapter 2. This is what you want, dear one. This sincerely is what you want, and don't ever forget it. Please do not think I'm saying you should not remember the Feast of Tabernacles, that you should not remember the unleavened bread, but you had better clean out the right leaven out of your house. Can you imagine somebody running around trying? It means fermentation. You'd have to throw out the vinegar. I don't know what all you'd waste that didn't amount to a hill of beans, and just let this little old thing get all clogged up while Satan just loves to take the attention of our people away from what it's supposed to be on. Whoops. Chapter 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. I want to tell you that this word stone is pebble, which is a sister word to the word count, the number of the beast. So you keep that stone that God gives you of truth and sincerity, and you keep up with the Word. You study it. You prepare. And you be ready for battle. You be ready to make haste. For it is that leaven that literally raises Christ being that penetrates the body, mind, soul, and spirit, we in Him and He in us. And you get that leaven out of this house, which is to say, false teaching. Don't you follow this man or any other man without checking him out in the Word of God and see that you don't end up in a reefer somewhere hauled off to the... I shouldn't say that. But hey, it's an example. It happened because people listen to false doctrine. They're dead, both spiritually which is the worst, and physically. We live in perilous times. So get the leaven out of this house, which is false doctrine. Weigh every word carefully of your seers. God helps us. God speaks to you. The Holy Spirit speaks to you when He's ready and when it's time. Don't think I'm making light of those gifts and those things. But if it's false, there's only one way you're going to recognize it, and that's to keep up with what was nailed to the cross. Or you're going to be back in old land, thrashing around, trying to get a hold of something, and your life's going to zip right on. God's kingdom is going to zip right on past. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word. Thank You, Father, for this written Word, that we may understand the simplicity of the days, the simplicity of the Savior, the simplicity in which He taught. Thank You for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen, amen.